it's good to see everybody and be together. And you know, Hudson, thank you for the song, and James, welcome in prayer, and Phil, the announcements. And it's just good to be together. To think that, wow, we're in the month of February, and you know, we're still in this configuration is a little unbelieving, but amen. We should not be surprised. Yeah, as Phil said, tonight we're going to continue with our series. And if you're visiting, thank you so much for coming to join with us. We've been talking about God and our bodies. And I think it's just amazing what God has to say about our bodies. And, you know, we began this series back in January, and we had the aim of just, again, seeing what God says about our bodies. And we began about learning that God says, I created your body for me. It's not to be worshiped. It's not to be neglected. Instead, our bodies were made by God, for God, and to honor him. And, you know, if you are a Christian, you know, we discussed in more detail, and we talked about the heart, and we talked about the ears and the tongue and the eyes, and how these different body parts can be used to honor God. Well, tonight, as Phil said, we're going to talk about the hands. And again, that question, how can I honor God with my hands? So let's pray together, and then we'll jump right into the word. Father, thank you again for this time that we have together. Lord, I do want to ask a special prayer for the White family, that you be with Johnny and her family, the passing of her mom. God, I also want to pray for the Crawford family, you know, a friend who used to be in the Hudson County Ministry passed away today. I was just told recently. And God, I just want to ask you to be with them, as well as the Babels who lost their daughter, Aaliyah, last week, that you would comfort these families that have had losses. And again, that we could, you know, not just pray for them, but, you know, in some ways put our arms around them and show some love. Thank you so much that we get to talk about the hands tonight. I pray that we leave inspired. I pray that we leave with just vision of what you can do with our hands, and how you can be glorified and lifted up. We love you and thank you. And we pray all this in your son, Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, there are several references to the hands. And it's interesting how those references kind of sync up with our culture. You know, hands in our culture represent power, authority, you know, relationships, reputation. It communicates people getting involved with all that they are, all that they are, all who they are. And, you know, when you hear phrases like this, I want to encourage you, put this in the chat, excuse me. When you hear phrases like, would you give me a hand? What does that mean? What are they saying? Yeah, put the answers in the chat. Or here's another one. The decision is in your hands. What does that mean? I'm handing this off to you. or, you know, I heard this one. If I ever get my hands on you, or here's another one. It's out of my hands. You know, in other words, you know what? I don't have any control of this. You've heard people say, let's shake on it. Let's shake hands on it. Let's make a pledge of our commitment, our strength, our resources, what have you. You know, back in Genesis 41, verse 44, it says, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt. So what was Pharaoh saying? He said, hey, Joseph, if you don't give approval, then it's not going to happen. You are in control. 1 Samuel 7, verse 13 says, so the Philistines were subdued and they stopped invading Israel's territory throughout Samuel's lifetime. The hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. You know, when the hand of the Lord was against you, that was not encouraging. That meant that you were, powerless, or there was confusion happening. And you know, if God's hand was against you, that was not a good thing. So as I said, hands represent, you know, power, influence, also our resources. You know, that can be as well our reputation, our standing in our community. So how do I honor God with my hands? Another way of thinking about it, how do I use all that I have, all that I am, my skills, my talents, my abilities, my strength, my connections, my relationships? How do I use all of that to honor God? And you know, if you see your hands as instruments and tools that God can use, wow, it changes everything. You and I have something very, very important. And you know, when you think about this, I want to ask you to turn over. Well, before you do that, here are some scriptures that you can jot down, take a picture about the hands and other references to just kind of dwell on to kind of get the point. And again, this will be available later. But in First Chronicles, chapter 29, we're going to read a passage here in a moment. And what was going on here in this time frame is that David decided that he wanted to build a glorious temple to God. He noticed the nations around him were doing that, and his God was basically living in a tent and living in in a box. And he said, you know what, that's not good. God deserves a temple. But God came to David, and God said to David, I appreciate you, man. And he didn't say it in that way, but you stay with me. But David, you can't build a temple for me. Why? Well, you are a man of bloodshed. You've fought many battles. You've shed so much blood. In fact, you know, you got some issues, family issues. And so I love the heart, but I'm not going to allow you to do it. In fact, I want you to set your boy Solomon up, and he can build the temple for me. And so David took this to heart. And he did something that was really incredible and really unique when you think about a king. He used all of his power and all of his resources, and he gathered the people together, and he began to dip into his own treasury. And he used it to help prepare to build a temple that he would never see. In fact, his name wouldn't even be associated with the temple. And even to this day, it's known as Solomon's Temple, or in the book of Acts chapter 3 and John chapter 10, it's called Solomon's Colonnade. And so it was really amazing because the people began to see the king doing something that wasn't for himself. And David got the people together and rallied them. And he says, look, we're going to put everything we got, our energy, our attention, our emotions, our resources into building this temple. And so to have a king have that kind of attitude that it wasn't going to be something to honor himself, it just showed a lot about David's heart. He was really the real deal. He was a king that was giving of himself, giving of his resources to do something outside of the realm of his own kingdom. And you know, when people found out what David was doing, it sparked a fire. It ignited something within them. And people came and they gave and they gave. And it was just, I mean, in our day, it'd be like millions of dollars that they gave generously. In fact, they said, hey, you can use my sons and daughters as craftsmen, and they're going to help. So by the time David had died, everything was in place to build this temple for God. And so with that in mind, let's read what David says here. First Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10 through 13. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. You know, when you stop and you think about this prayer, David was the king. And again, we're not kind of used to kings and monarchs here in America. So it's kind of like, wait a minute, okay. Great prayer, David, but kings didn't kind of operate and see things the way that he's talking about. You know, first off, he said, this is not my kingdom. He says, it's your kingdom. And then he says something else a little later. He says, wealth and honor come from you. So it's like, well, wait a minute, where does wealth and I thought wealth and honor came from all my hard work. I went to school. I studied. I did this. I worked hard. I saved up. I bought this. Then I converted to that. I worked, you know, and so sometimes you can hear and read scriptures like that and say, well, wait a minute. And again, David, think about his experience. Here's a guy who was a shepherd boy. He came from quote unquote nothing. When Samuel came to the house, David was forgot. They forgot about him. I mean, he's the young guy in the family. He wasn't even thought about. But think about it. David killed Goliath. David had got a reputation as a mighty warrior. And raised up in the Saul's army and killed thousands and thousands. But his perspective was wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler. I'm sorry. Yeah, you are the ruler of all things. You know, sometimes, brothers and sisters, we can forget a very simple principle. And here it is. Everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. Well, wait a minute. I'm paying Verizon $59.99 every month for my, you know, I-13, everything belongs to God. Well, hey, I went to school and I learned how to negotiate. I learned how to debate. Everything belongs to God. If that goes from here to here, we actually live very differently. We think differently. When we have this perspective about life and everything with life, because if everything belongs to him, that means I'm just a manager. That means I don't own it. And I got a very different mindset and attitude. Well, see, David had that heart and he had that mindset. He had that attitude. Everything in our hands originated with God. Your intellect, your personality, your family, your reputation, everything. And David understood this deeply. He didn't get caught up in ego because of the things that had happened in his life. He knew that everything up to that point in time was what it was because God had given it to him. And I tell you, sometimes it's very easy to forget where things come from. We can become very possessive and think, well, I did this, I did that. And we talk about ourselves as if it was all us. David didn't have that mindset. You know, it's kind of funny too, when you think about wealth and honor, right? Think about people in the Bible that were put in positions simply because of God. Think about Esther for a minute. Esther was beautiful. Her beauty put her in that position to be the king's wife. And then God said, no, 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 you're not there because of your good looks and all of that. You're there because I'm going to use you and I'm going to use that gift of beauty to help save the Jewish people. Think about Nehemiah. What was his job? He was cupbearer, right? Wow, what an awesome dude, job. Hey, let me drink this to see if it's poison. So if it is, I'll die and not the king. But think about it. God put him in that position because God knew, hey, I'm going to use you to help connect with this king, and you're going to go back and rebuild my city. Wait a minute, Lord, I don't know anything about building. I don't know anything about doors and jams. And I'm putting you in that role. I'm putting you in that position because I'm going to use you in that relationship you have with the king to do something amazing. Moses, God says to Moses at 80 years old, I want you to go back. I want you to go back to Egypt and I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses was like, no, Lord, send somebody else, right? Why me? Well, you grew up in that environment. You know the culture, you know the people. And because of that relationship, I got a plan. And that plan includes you helping me to help my people be set free. See, in the Bible, there is filled with men and women just like you and I, with all kinds of relationships. They're put in places with resources, with skills, with all kinds of talent. But we got to continue to see the big picture. God didn't do that by chance. God wants to use the things in our hands so that he can be glorified. God's saying, hey, guess what? If you take these things that I've made available to you, I'm going to work through you and with you to help change the world. Guys, it's no different from how he worked with all of the people that I mentioned. He wants to do the same with us. But you know, the temptation sometimes is to say, woohoo, thank you, Lord. But I got some things I want to do. I got places I want to go. And we can forget where it comes from, who it belongs to. God wants to remind us that he gave us what we have. Everything belongs to who? To God. That's right. He's given you and I wealth. He's given us honor. He's given us strength. He's given us education. He's given us position. He's given us power. For what? Why? So that you and I can help continue to spread his kingdom, the rule and reign of God, so that people can ultimately know him. See, we got a little artist here in the house. All right, let's disable that. All right. Okay. So, got a question for us. And this is a great Bible study. If you want to think about this, how did Jesus use his hands? If you go through the Gospels and ask yourself that question, how did Jesus use his hand? It is an amazing, amazing Bible study. But I want you to think about this for a minute. The Son of God, the one who sits at the right hand of the Father, the one who's going to judge the world, the perfect man, the God man, the Lord, the one who does deserve all praise, glory, honor. And one day, according to the Bible, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Now, for those of us that are Christians, that's exciting news because we know who he is. And those that don't know, they're going to bow down and they're going to say, Jesus is Lord. But the question is, what did he do with these powerful hands? Let's think about it. He touched sick people. He fed people. He hung out with people that no one wanted to hang out with. He washed feet. He touched corpses and brought people back to life. He spent time with the unclean. Then one day, he took those powerful hands and he surrendered those hands. And he was taken and flogged. And then one day, he spread out those arms and he was crucified, and spikes were driven into his wrists. And I can only imagine, I can't really imagine, it's like, wow, he did that. But he hung up on a cross and he died for you and I. You know, what's interesting, the Bible says that they were able to recognize Jesus. Remember the disciples in that room locked up? And Thomas was doubting. What did Jesus say? Come over here. Touch this. See, look at this. Look at the scars in my hands. See, let's remember, one day you and I will give account for our lives. You know, that parable of the talents, Jesus will want to know, what did you do with what I gave you? How did you use it? Whose kingdom did you invest in? Was it my kingdom? Or was it your kingdom? And you know, brothers and sisters, this should excite us, because God's given us not only the knowledge and the understanding, many of us are using what God's given us to give him glory and honor. And if anything, we need to continue to use our hands. And maybe we didn't think about it this way, but to use what we got for his glory. But you know, like anything else, sometimes there's one thing that can prevent us from doing that. And it's called F-E-A-R, fear. If I give this to the Lord, is he going to take care of me? If I give this away, am I going to have enough for me later? Is this going to work out? Is that going to work? And you know, Sari and I found this video of us from 2001. It was like 2 months before we were asked to go to do the K&N Africa. That was the last K&N that was done in the church, the Kingdom News Network. And I totally forgot about it, but in the interview, they were asking, did we give to special contribution? And we were like, you know, yeah, every year. And I said, it's actually been funny, because from 1997 to 2002, every year before special contribution, something major would happen with our vehicle. And I mean, literally every year. And it was just like, wow. We got to a point where we were like, okay, the car is going to break down or something's going to happen. But we got to a point where it was like, there's something that's going to happen. And there was always that temptation. Okay, are you going to give that money that you set aside? And thank God he was, you know, faithful and helped us to do that. But, you know, living in fear is not going to help us. To put and remember where everything comes from. God sometimes is constantly putting us at that place where we're going to have to continue to trust in him and not let fear lead us, but really remember that God is going to provide for us. All right, here we go. I want to share a couple, just one practical thing here that I want to encourage us to do. If you're married, do this with your spouse. If you're not married, maybe a member in your life team, or someone that you're close to. Get together this week and ask these two questions. One, what has God placed in your hands? Because sometimes we think, well, I don't have much. I don't have this. I don't have. And listen, we live in a very rich world. We are rich. We are wealthy compared to most people in the world. What has God placed in your hands? And then the second question is, okay, Lord, here's what I have. Here's who I am. How can I use these hands for your glory, to build your kingdom? Lord, my hands are available. Help me recognize the opportunities around me that you want me to apply these hands to. I want to encourage us to do this, because I believe there's so many opportunities. And I'm not just talking about studying the Bible with people and helping, but in our communities, there's opportunities that we have right at the tip of our fingers. If we look, if we ask. You know, tonight I asked a brother and a sister to share how God is helping them to use their hands. And at this time, I'm going to turn it over to Paige Pennell, and he's going to share what God is doing with him. And then after Paige shares, Rosemary Gadir is going to share how God is helping her to use her hands. And then after they share, we'll close it out. And so without further ado, I turn it over to Paige and then Rosemary.
All right. So Russ asked me to share what I've been doing with my hands to honor God by loving and serving those in need. And a lot of you guys know me already. For the last 13 years, I've been a part of a group of disciples called Haitian Support, which is not associated with Hope Worldwide. There's actually a growing number of disciples who really want to get involved in doing good works. And so so for the last 13 years, I've been involved with some brothers, and we have a number of good work activities going on hand in hand with the church in Haiti. And the project that I'm particularly responsible for is a school in Southwest Haiti. It's in a town called Botary, and very proud of the school. We today have, it is the premier school in the region in terms of education. The school soccer team won the regional tournament. And it's just really, really, what a blessing to be a part of this school. The school is free for the students, minus a $10 fee, just to make sure that people have their are committed, I guess, to that, and not using the school as like a free daycare or something like that. But so I've been a part of this since 2008. A lot of you guys already know this. I've shared this before in front of the church on a few occasions over the years. Like I said, there's 219 students, K through nine. There's 17 employees, most of our staff, the teachers and the groundskeepers and whatnot, and the guardians, they are disciples in the local church. The church has grown over the years. There's probably about 40 or 50 disciples now. And that's the way it should be. Our mission is to use both the gospel and good works to really go out and impact the community. And so, we do that. That's our mission. And it's really become a large part of my life and my wife, Karen. She's also listening in. The both of us have been doing this for all these years. So it's very exciting. It's had a great, huge impact in the community, not just the school, but the church as well. So it's really a great sense of accomplishment that God is working through us to make a difference. And so, but why do I do it? And a lot of people ask me that, especially people and non-Christians. Everybody at work knows I'm a Christian because I talk about the school. A lot of people actually support student sponsorships. In fact, shameless plug, here's the handsome young guy, Estevenki Mingo, it's backwards. We have all these students that we sell sponsorships. So I'm going to put my name in the chat or my email if you want to sponsor. It's $100 a year, which is nothing but to sponsor as a student. If you like to do that, contact me. But anyway, why do I do it? In 1981, actually in 2 days, I will be 41 years a disciple. 41 years from the campus ministry. Crazy. So 41 years ago, I became a disciple from an agnostic background, and because I was looking for meaning and purpose in my life. And so I found it in being a disciple, but also have the blessing of being involved in such a great work with these other brothers and our wives. We're all involved in doing these good works in Haiti. Like I said, the school is just one of our many programs. But why? Because I strongly believe if I take the love and the generosity and the goodness that God has shown me and I radiate out to the world, I'll have impact. And so that's really, it's as simple as that. Taking the love that God has given to me, the forgiveness, the kindness, the generosity, and just being a mirror out to the world is really the way to make a difference. So I really feel like I'm blessed in this opportunity to serve. And then that begs the question, well, what about me? Okay, Paige, okay, you work in New York, you're in finance and whatnot. That's great for you. Well, you'd be surprised, okay? God has blessed us financially, and we use that to serve others. And that's what Russ is talking about, using what God has given you, your skills and talents. So let's just start right there. Your skills and talents. How can you make a difference? I strongly believe, first of all, start with your own spiritual gifts, all right? There's probably about a dozen that still apply in this modern age. Not the miraculous ones, but certainly the gifts of service, the gifts of administration, right on down the line. There's about a dozen of them. And so start there. What are your spiritual gifts? And then ask yourself, what are your passions? What can I do? Is it education? Is it healthcare? Is it serving people? Is it feeding people? What is your passion? And if you feel like you have a passion taking your skills to do something, then get up, pray about it, ask God to help you, and look for those ministries that God is opening the doors for, because ministry is service. It's a service of the people God puts in your life. And so pray about it, ask God to direct you, and open those doors for ministry of service, just like he did, in 2008, 13 years ago, God opened the door for me. And Karen, we both speak French pretty well. And so we go to Haiti. We've been there so many times, you can't even remember. So it's just a great opportunity. So that's my encouragement to you. If you're thinking, well, what can God do? How can God use me with my hands and the skills and talents that he's given me? How can I do that? It's that simple. Ask yourself, what are my spiritual gifts? What are my passions? How can I combine them together and make it happen? Just pray for God to open those doors and even work with other people. It's just it's such a rewarding experience. So that's what I wanted to share tonight. Sorry, I went over the five minutes, Russ. Sorry about that. But I hand it back over to Russ or Rosemary. Thanks.
Thank you, Paige. Thank you, Russ, for asking me to share. So I just want to share a little bit about how God has used me to use my hands. So I've been working in corporate America for a while, and but I always had a desire to do something more. I kind of knew that wasn't it. As a disciple, I loved having people over. I love hospitality. I love people in my home, all that stuff. So, and I love to cook. A lot of people know that I love to cook, and they do enjoy my food. And so I didn't know, but I prayed about it. Always prayed about it. I wasn't impatient. I just waited. And God opened the opportunity. The company that I work for, it closed down. Then I went in to do some financial sales. And during that time, I sat with a guy who owned a restaurant, and we were talking about finances and stuff like that. And it didn't go anywhere, but shortly after, he called me and asked me if I wanted to buy the restaurant, because I commented to him that, you have a good little thing here going, the location is great, all that stuff. So he asked me, called me, do you want to buy this restaurant? And I didn't even think, actually, I didn't even ask my husband. I just said yes, because I believe that God just he just gave it to me. Honestly, there's nothing I did, nothing special. So once I said yes, then I had to go home and talk to my husband about it. I did it backwards, but it worked out. So we we bought the restaurant in 2015 November, and we worked it. I was scared, but I trusted God. And so I worked, we worked for 2 years, 7 days a week. And at some point I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to get to church on Sundays. But I was scared of failing. But I'm like, I got to get a church. So I started praying about it. And after 2 years, I decided to close on Sundays. I'm like, God, let me not miss Sunday sales, because Sunday sale is good, but I need to go to church. So we did that. And God blessed it. I didn't miss a penny. And actually, we grew despite of being closed on Sundays. And we grew so much that we opened a second location the following year. So 3 years after the first, we opened a second location. And, you know, God just, you know, blessed it. I truly believe that, you know, our hands, we use it to touch, to feel, it creates things, it gives things, it loves, you know, it creates good food. And so we worked, we were able now to hire people, you know, impact the, give people a way to make a living. And we also, I started helping people in Jamaica that came other countries, put roofs on their homes and, you know, pay their medical bills, stuff they wouldn't have been able to do if they were there. And God still blessed us. And in 2019, we actually were able to buy the building that from the first restaurant that we had. And God continued to, you know, bless us. And, you know, just by cooking and reaching out to people, I have to tell you, food, family, friends, there's nothing like it. There's people come in and we're the only maybe smile they would get for the day. It reminds me of the scripture in Matthew 25, where Jesus talked about the talents. You know, he gave us, we all have talents. So I truly believe that he gave me the talent to use my hands to reach out to people in that way. And so, you know, I believe that we shouldn't hide our talents, even though we're scared, but just go ahead and use the talents that God has given us. You know, Ross was saying our bodies were made by God, for God, and to worship God. And so I believe that what I'm doing, I've touched so many people. There's so many things that we've done for and with different people. It's unbelievable. And in our community, in the community that my business is located. And so for that, I'm truly grateful, truly blessed. It's nothing special, but I just feel like God has carried me in his hands. And so, you know, I'm using my hands to give back, you know, to the people around me, strangers I don't even know. I meet them every day. I talk to them all the time. And so I truly believe that, like, when you have your gift and you're working or you're doing something, it's so effortless. I wake up every morning and I go to work, but it's not work. It's like, it's like fun. It's just like a normal day. No, you know, there's stress associated with it, but I enjoy going. I enjoy preparing and getting ready for people to come and enjoy and have a great meal. So that's what I want to share. That's how God has been blessing me with my hands.
All right, thank you. Okay, well, Paige and Rosemarie, thank you for sharing and being an example of how God is using you to honor him with your hands. And again, thank you everybody for listening. And again, let's take it to heart. Let's think about these things. And imagine if we're all thinking that way and not just staying kind of with the same old, but God, you've given me these hands, you've given me what I got, some things I don't even realize I got. How can I use them to honor you? So with that, we're going to have a closing song by Will Mason, and then we'll open it up for some fellowship. Thank you very much.